Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ted Wendt on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, senior writer at The Athletic. You can also hear him on the Just Win podcast. Ted, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us, as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let me start out at the quarterback position and ask it to you this way. Have you noticed the play calling? Has it been different on the 49ers between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones? Do you see Kyle Shanahan, let's say, dialing things up differently? And if so, what?
I don't know if there's a huge difference between what they're dialing up. I think Mac Jones definitely executes it a little differently. Brock Purdy's going to try to create a little bit more. That's part of his game, scrambling. I think he's going to take some more chances as far as throwing the ball downfield too, whereas Mac Jones is just kind of robotic the way that he's executing it against the Rams defense, which gave him a ton of space. They kept on playing a lot of soft coverage, even though they were getting peppered underneath over and over again, which kind of played into Mac Jones and the Niners' hands. They just didn't trust their corners, so they were just playing off the whole time, which was really advantageous to the style Mac Jones plays with. But I don't notice a huge difference. I mean, there's a ton of plays that, you know, we've seen the Niners run plenty of times as staples of their offense against the Rams on Thursday night. So, to answer your question, I don't think there's a huge difference. I just think it's the way that those two quarterbacks are executing.
Hey, Ted, nice to talk to you. I think I owe a big apology to one Deebo Samuel. I was a little vocal the last couple of years because I felt like, you know, we didn't get – you know, the Deebo of the past. But this year, so much talk has been about what's going on with the run game. And I just had a thought this past Sunday when the Niners didn't play, just watching him in Washington. And, Ted, I just want to run by you. Do you think all the window dressing that came with Deebo and what he was going to do when he was in motion and if he were going to get the ball, do you think that has had any impact on defenses looking at this Niner offense? Like, with no Deebo, they're easier to defend. Anything there?
I think that's a small part of it. I mean, for a long time, Deebo was such a big part of the run game and such a big part of confusing defenses because of the versatile personnel package they have and not knowing who's going to line up at running back, who's going to be the ball carrier. But, you know, he's kind of gotten phased out of that in the last couple of years as a Niner. So I think the bigger issue is just the run blocking and the inability to sustain blocks. George Kittle is one of the best run blockers at tight end in the entire league. So missing him in an outside zone type of offense is huge as well. So, I would hesitate to say that losing Deebo was a main factor in why the run game has been so bad. I think mainly blocking, especially blocking at the edge, it's one of the bigger factors to me.
Ted Wendt joining us on 95.7 The Game, senior writer at The Athletic. You can also hear him on the Just Win podcast. What do you make of the quarterback situation right now with the Niners? Purdy has played two games. He's got turf toe. Didn't respond well after Jacksonville. Team's 3-0 under Mac Jones. It kind of seems like they're leaning toward Mac Jones for Sunday's game against Tampa Bay, but how do you handle it moving forward if Mac Jones continues to play well and and Purdy just continues to progress.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen a bigger sample size of Brock Purdy playing at a very high level than Mac Jones. And I think Purdy definitely had some issues dealing with that injury against the Jaguars. And he's kind of not played up to his level in the past few games, so I can understand where the sentiment comes from. But to me, I think there's just a way larger sample size as far as Brock Purdy playing at a high level, taking you in playoff games, winning playoff games, getting to the Super Bowl. So I think with Mac Jones, you have a very good backup that can execute your offense at a high level. So I think don't rush Purdy back at all. I mean, like, take the time he needs to heal up that toe. The Niners are in a very good position at 4-1. And this is the reason why you brought Mac Jones in, because you felt like his skill set would fit well in this offense. So to me, I think there's no controversy, despite, you know, seeing all these tweets on Niner Twitter arguing that maybe Mac Jones should replace Brock Purdy. But I definitely think they have a luxury of just making sure that Brock Purdy is fully healthy before he gets put back into the lineup.
Mm. Ted, when I look at and talk about Big Trent Williams, you know, last year he was hurt and he had some personal stuff off the field. What have you made from his performance, you know, early on? Is he back to being dominant Trent, or are you seeing some, like, warning signs?
I think there's some warning signs. To me, he's still a very good left tackle. He's still good in the run game. I think pass blocking wise, he's not the Trent Williams of the past, but he's still playing at a reasonably high level to me. And I think, you know, especially at 37 years old, at a position where athleticism is so important, like, we should have expected that there would be a little regression from Trent Williams, especially dealing with all the injuries that he's dealt with. I think it's still pretty amazing that he's playing at the level that he's playing at age 37. But to expect him to be, you know, when he was at his best, he was by far the best left tackle in the league. Like, it was everybody else, and Trent Williams is in his own tier. And it's just not quite that anymore. So I think he's still a very good left tackle. And if he misses time or get out there, the Niners' offensive line is going to suffer greatly. But he's not the Trent Williams of old, and I think it'd be unreasonable to expect that of him at his age.
Ted Wynn joining us on 95.7 The Game, senior writer at The Athletic, covers the NFL for them. Let me ask you about Christian McCaffrey. They're utilizing him a little bit differently this year, it seems. But obviously he's catching the ball more than he has in the past. But he still touched the ball 130 times so far in five games. So he's still on a pace for over 400 touches, which seems unrealistic, but he keeps kind of logging 25 plus. Let me ask you why you think the 49ers are utilizing him a little differently. And then, like, how sustainable is this? At what point are they going to have to pare back?
Yeah, it is pretty scary to have your best player touch the ball as much as he has. And part of that has to do with all the injuries they're dealing with. You know, losing Kittle, Pearsall, and Jennings. You're going to have to feed somebody. And, you know, they did a good job of dispersing the ball to Kendrick Bourne and Robinson in that Rams game. But McCaffrey is still by far your top playmaker, so I understand why they're going to him so much. And one of the reasons why they're utilizing him as a receiver is because they're struggling in the ground game. So you're not getting him in space in the ground game. You're only averaging, you know, 3 yards per carry. So I think it's pretty smart to utilize his skills as a receiver. And it's very tough on defenses. I mean, you just watch the defenses. They're just scrambling, trying to avoid a mismatch. And then, inevitably, he gets matched up on a linebacker and he just kills him. So I would say at least a lot of these touches are more low-impact touches because they're coming at receiver instead of just ramming into the line like you would as a running back. But I would imagine that once the Niners get healthier, they have to be more cognizant of lowering those touches because you want him to last the entire season because he's such an important part of your offense. But I do think I give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit for being creative in getting his best playmaker the ball in space when the run game isn't working as well as you want it to.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ted. I was just telling my partner we were going over all the 4-1 teams, and the fact that Kyle has his team 4-1, 4-1 with all the injuries they've had to endure, it's crazy. But with that said, Ted, you know, if a ball bounces this way or that way, you know, they could be 2-3, but they're not. But if I were to ask you, how good are the 2025 Niners through 5 weeks, how would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely agree with you. You don't want to live in a world where you're in all these one-score games because, as we know, once regression hits, that ball is going to bounce the other way, and you could lose those games. But at the same time, like, with all the injuries that they have, to be this competitive and be in position to win those games is very it's a credit to the coaching staff, credit to the guys on the team for fighting. But you hope that once they are able to get healthier, that they win some of these games a little bit more convincingly to kind of show that they are a team to be reckoned with once the playoffs come rolling around. So to answer your question, I think this is a very good Niners team. The biggest questions to me were defensively, how would all these young guys mesh up defensively? How would Robert Saleh perform? And honestly, they've exceeded my expectations. I think a lot of these young guys have played really well. Mykel Williams, you see some of the young defensive linemen stepping in. Those young defensive backs are doing a good job covering, and they're asking a lot of those defensive backs, playing more aggressively than they have in the past as far as blitzing and asking them to play a little bit more man coverage and tight coverage. So I think, you know, this defense is ahead of where I thought it was going to be, and they're missing Nick Bosa, so maybe they even add a pass rusher to the equation at some point. I think the offense is going to start playing like the offense we expect and are used to seeing from the Niners as they get healthier. So, you know, if the defense keeps improving the way it is, and then you have that offense that we know can be elite once they're healthy, this could be a team that really competes in the NFC once the playoffs run around. So I think they're ahead of where I thought they were going to be, and I thought they were going to.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be a pretty good team.
How would you answer the same question about Tampa Bay? My partner Guru told me a stat where they've been down. They were down with a minute left in all four of their wins. So when you see stuff like that, and the 49ers obviously are hurt, but like you said, they've won a lot of tight games. How do you make a judgment on a team like that? And what do you think of the Bucs?
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs are actually a pretty similar team to the Niners right now because they're really beat up too, but the difference is a lot of their guys aren't coming back. Like they have a lot of guys on IR, like Luke Getteke, their right tackle that is one of the best in the league. They had Lawson Lyman are going to be out for the season. Mike Evans will be back eventually, but they're a really beat up team right now. They didn't have Bucky Irvin last week. They have some young defensive backs that are playing really well on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, obviously, again, you don't want to be in all these one score games, but I think they're coaching staff wise, they're doing a good job of working around these injuries, and to put up 38 against that Seahawks defense, as we know, is one of the best of the league, was pretty impressive to me. And we'll see where they go as their defense progresses. I think their offense will continue being high scoring, but their defense definitely has to get better. They don't want to be in shootouts too often.
Hey, Ted, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, and should be a great game on Sunday.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.